Now, in our second session, we are going to continue to advance in the third subparagraph of paragraph 12. This is where we are beginning to wind down our study. Its title is Synaptic Inhibition, but we've actually moved into a section of this subparagraph which is defining the ways in which one would change the way he thinks. And the final point we noted before time caught us in first session was number 25, whether the reversionist wants to or not, he will always follow the path of least resistance. Point 26, he may enjoy brief episodes of good behavior mustered from sheer willpower. He may enjoy brief episodes of good behavior mustered from sheer willpower, but he simply cannot sustain it over the course of a lifetime. That he cannot do. Good behavior is hard enough to do with the enabling power of the Holy Spirit available to you. But when you are a reversionist and when you're out of fellowship, then it's very, very difficult to maintain this more than a few blurts at the time. However, 27. As we have noted several times in this study, when the reversionistic believer admits he is wrong, confesses his sins to God, and recovers the filling of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit will enable him to choose the wheel tracks of righteousness. When the reversionistic believer admits he is wrong, metanoeo, confesses his sins to God, homologeo, and recovers the filling of the Holy Spirit, pleroma, the power of the Spirit, dunamis, will enable him to choose the wheel track of righteousness. Trachea dikaiosune, wheel track of righteousness. 28. Even though the old wheel track is dominant, the recovering reversionist is enabled to make the right choice. And that gets us into the power options. You've got a wheel track that is established. It is a behavior pattern. It is the path of least resistance. How then is the reversionist consistently going to change? He does it through the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why the first power option is absolutely a got to when it comes to executing the Christian way of life and indispensable when it comes to recovery. There is no other way. 29. It is important to note that this same set of options considered without the filling of the Holy Spirit will always result in the believer choosing the path of least resistance. And I have demonstrated to you over 14 hours now that the path of least resistance will be selected by your volition when it is placed under the proper stimuli. And unless there is something to override it, you will choose the path of least resistance. You have established behavior patterns, and you are enslaved by your sin nature, and you really don't have free will because you have chosen to enslave your free will to the old sin nature. It's now your husband, and you're doing what you're told. So it's important to note that this same set of options considered without the filling of the Holy Spirit will always result in the believer choosing the path of least resistance. Now I say always, I will qualify that to some degree. On a good day, motivated by a guilt complex, and maybe a tape or two by Zig Ziglar, you can juice yourself up to do the right thing a couple of times, but you can't hold out over a lifetime. And that's the issue. of the Christian way of life, that you execute God's plan day in, day out, every day of your life under the enabling power of the Spirit, and without it you lose. 30. Thus we may conclude that the recovering reversionist can transform the way he thinks by the renovation of his thought. Romans 12:2. It can be done, but it has to be done on a spiritual level. It has to be under divine power, and it has to be through the execution of divine thought, superseding and overriding the wheel tracks of wickedness, which is human thought. We may conclude that the recovering reversionist can transform the way he thinks by the renovation of his thought. But that renovation is not possible outside the divine power system and under the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. And without that, you lose. Now, you've seen this before. I will put it to the side for a moment. Under point 31, I'd like to bring back a familiar diagram that's constructed much like a formula, so to speak. You have FHS, the filling of the Holy Spirit, which is the first power option. You add to the filling of the Holy Spirit human IQ, HIQ, and that equals spiritual IQ. And then you add to that the grace apparatus for perception, and that equals reversion recovery process. Now, there's your formula. The first power option, the filling of the Holy Spirit, plus human IQ equals spiritual IQ. And added to that is the grace apparatus for perception, which is the second power option, and that equals the reversion recovery process. Now, every believer has this available to him. Both power options are available at a moment's notice. All that is required is admitting to yourself that you're wrong, confessing to God what you've done. That results in the filling of the Holy Spirit and activation of the first power option. Your human IQ is now enabled by His power to understand spiritual phenomena in the grace apparatus for perception, where it is revealed. Second power option is now activated. That's your recovery process. Without that, there will be no recovery. Now, the second thing we'll note is when this moves from potential to reality. The filling of the Holy Spirit, FHS plus GAP for gap. You have here the first spiritual skill plus the second spiritual skill. That equals, we're going to add to that problem-solving devices, which is the third spiritual skill, and that's going to equal the Christian way of life. Now, let's note what we've got here in our reversion recovery process. First of all, you've got to get the ball rolling. God is not a bully, and He is not going to do anything other than heap upon you pain and suffering. But you have to come to the realization that you are wrong. Metanoeo. Secondly, you have to confess. Homologeo. Homologeo. Once you've confessed, that results in the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's pleroma. Pleroma. The filling of the Holy Spirit, then, gives you the power to change the way you think. The first thing that happens under gap is the Holy Spirit teaches. That's didactos. Elapsed. D-I-D-A-K-T-O-S. Now, that's the teaching side of the formula. The Holy Spirit does the teaching. Now, there's another side to a didactical process, and that is learning. You learn. G-I-N-O-S-K-O. You learn. And what do you learn? The Holy Spirit, in your association cortex, brings things to academic understanding. And that's gnosis. G-N-O-S-I-S. And when you learn something, that means, yes, I believe it. Yes, I accept it. That happens here at GAP. It's been revealed to you under academic understanding, and you say, yes, I believe that. Then the Holy Spirit goes into action and places it into long-term memory. That's epignosis, E-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-S. and then that moves over here into the long-term memory traces, and eventually you develop an inventory of how to execute the Christian way of life, how to handle problems. You have 10 problem-solving devices available as spiritual skills, category 3. And then when you face a situation, a circumstance arises, a set of exigencies, then there is recall. The Holy Spirit will recall pertinent doctrine for you to examine. Mene Menuo. M-N-E-M-O-N-E-U-O. Now there's the whole process. And these words are important because you can go to all the passages where they're found and develop this entire reversion recovery process. This is how it's done. There's no other way to do it. And when you have wheel tracks of wickedness, this is the only conversion process. There are no others. And you can fire up Zig Ziglar all you want and go on or off on all these spiritual tapes you want where the guy gives you a pep talk about, yeah, you can be better. God loves you just the way you are. Some deal like the fellow on the TV with a little coat and the kids and the animals. Well, Fred Rogers, I think his name is. God does love you just the way you are, but He intends for you to change. And this is the change process. God help us if children were not intended to change. Yes, God loves you just the way you are. That's where He has to start with you. He's not going to wait for you to get better. That ain't happening. So He takes you the way you are. And then you, through the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, are to get better at executing the Christian way of life. So there are your diagrams. You have a potential and you have a reality. And how it's done is right there. And there are verses to back it up of giving you the Greek words. You may not think they're important, but where do you think we get these ideas for Pete's sake? You have to go to the passages and you dig into the passages and these are the words that are used. And you analyze them and you come up with these doctrines and there you have it. There ain't no other way. Here a little, there a little. 32. The first power option remains an option if the reversionist refuses to admit he is wrong. Metanoeo. The first power option remains an option. Although it's always there, it's still an option if you refuse to admit you're wrong. I'm wrong. Well, that's metanoeo. Who'd you say that to? To God? He doesn't need to hear this. He knows you're wrong. That's why you have all this pain and suffering. He knows. So you say it to yourself. Until you admit you're wrong, you're never going to come around to confessing anything to God. You think you're right. Look, the brain doesn't know any different. If it's firing a memory trace, it's not the brain's job to determine whether it's right or wrong. Its job is to do it. Dr. Restick, the fellow I read that Weldon handed me the book of, the second book he's written in the last 10 years. Now he's recognizing volition. But he struggles with that. He says, you know, to imply volition says that the mind is offering orders down to the brain and the brain does what it's told. He doesn't buy this because it cannot be proved through experiential laboratory data. But he does admit something's going on, and he does buy into free will now. But he can't handle the mind-soul operation. Well, it's there, Doc. It's there. And the soul, filled with the Holy Spirit, controls the brain. Volition is the thing that determines whether the Holy Spirit controls the brain or the sin nature controls the brain. And the sin nature is an inside agent. It's located in the DNA of every neuron. So it's there for the long run. It's there for the long haul. It is always going to be there, functioning 24 hours a day, on duty, no vacations. The Holy Spirit is in and out, dependent upon your volition, your sin nature's tendencies, and whether you utilize rebound consistently or not. The Holy Spirit comes and goes under the filling ministry and so on. You never lose the indwelling, of course. Remember that. But the sin nature is always there. It's an inside agent. And the Holy Spirit, therefore, overrides all of this. The sin nature has lost its power and may be defeated in a moment through admitting you're wrong and then confessing the sin to God. So the first power option remains an option if the reversionist refuses to admit he is wrong, metanoeo, and confess his sins, homologeo, to God and no one else. 33. The second power option remains an option if the recovering reversionist refuses to submit to the corrective inculcation of righteous wheel tracks. The second power option remains an option if the recovering reversionist refuses to submit to corrective inculcation of righteous wheel tracks. And that inculcation is systematically presented at Bible class. The Holy Spirit teaches, didactos, and you, the student, learn. And that is monthano. The learning process is monthano. And I really should have put that word in here along with gnosko. The process is monthano. M-A-N-T-H-A-N-O. And the result of learning is gnosko, what you've learned. The Holy Spirit teaches, didaktos, you learn, monthano, and what you learn is gnosko. The Holy Spirit takes gnosis, converts it to epinosis and the long-term memory, and there's your memory trees. You come under pressure, you have recall, manemanuo. There's your volition challenged again. Am I going to use the biblical problem-solving device, or am I not? And if you choose biblical problem-solving, then down that memory trace you go. That's divine application to life. So the inculcation of righteous wheel tracks systematically is presented in Bible class. Two sides of the same coin, didaktos and monthano, resulting in gnosko. However, point 34. Positive volition to God's Word, God's plan, and God's system will eventually convert power options into spiritual skills. The spiritual skills are listed here. The options are up here. And the options remain options until you choose to utilize them. Positive volition to God's Word, God's plan, and God's system will eventually convert power options into spiritual skills. 35. This is how volition, working in tandem with the filling of the Holy Spirit, can transform a reversionist soul by renovating his thought. And the fulfillment of Romans 12:2 is found in what's on the board. That's how you renovate your thought. And if you're a reversionist, you have a longer way to go than that person who has consistently been inside the divine power system. They simply continue to function under the two power options, developing them into spiritual skills. They don't have to go through the admitting you're wrong part after a long winter in reversionism. They don't have to go through the homologeo except on brief occasions as they catch themselves throughout the day, but not a long winter of discontent. And then the scar tissue, the broadened, facilitated wheel tracks are not there to deal with. And they have to be drawn down to size. The synapses have to be turned down and others have to be turned up, and it takes time. And God's patient. He gives us time to recover. And if we're patient with Him, He will teach us how to live. Point 6. Well, let me repeat 35. Volition working in tandem with the filling of the Holy Spirit can transform the reversionist soul by renovating his thought. 36, this occurs because the Holy Spirit empowers the weak believer. And even though he is in the divine power system under the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, he is weak. Why? Because although the Holy Spirit fills the soul, this believer's inventory has been damaged. And the Holy Spirit can only recall what's available, and He brings things up that are flawed. The memory traces have been flawed. They've shrunk. The synapses have unplugged. Some of the dendrites have. And this thing has to be reconstructed. Now, the memory trace is there, but it's not as sophisticated as it was when it was in use and was facilitated. Now it must be refacilitated, and that takes time. You've got to plug some things back in. You've got to bring some doctrines in from the side that also have eroded, plug those in to get broader understanding of the issue. And we examined this one time when we were noting how a wheel track is enlarged. We took the gospel, for example. And we use John 3:16 to establish the original wheel track. And we have salvation and eternal security covered in John 3:16. That's all you know. Then someone challenges your eternal security and says, no, you have to work for Jesus. And then you go to Bible class and you learn Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And it said, it's not by works of righteousness, but by the grace of God and no other way. And so you log that as another memory trace, but it becomes a neural network. It interlocks with John 3:16, and therefore you have additional information to give you confidence in your eternal security. And we worked it all the way down to where this person had accumulated 7 or 8 memory traces so that he was doctrinally invincible with regard to challenges to his eternal security. And all doctrines work the same way. You have neural networks that come in and interlock and intertwine, feeding loads of information into the conscious mind regarding a given issue. And when you go dormant with that, when you quit using that neural network, it begins to unplug and unwind and unravel. And it has to be reconstructed, and that's part of the reversion recovery process. So the Holy Spirit empowers the weak believer to make the right choices until his wheel tracks of wickedness are replaced as the paths of least resistance by new wheel tracks of righteousness. The Holy Spirit empowers the weak believer, the recovering reversionist, to make the right choices until his wheel tracks of wickedness are replaced as paths of least resistance by new wheel tracks of righteousness. And that is a renovation project as per Romans 12:2, and it takes a while. There must be, God has patience with you when you go back to the old memory trace. You must have patience with God as He seeks to renovate your soul with divine truth. It won't happen overnight. 37. In the raising of children, it is obvious that if righteous thoughts are installed into their memory traces at the earliest possible age, then doing the right thing becomes their path of least resistance. You wait until they become teenagers, they've got these flesh highways functional. It's the path of least resistance for them, and to make that conversion during a time when they are normally and usually rebellious anyhow, you have bitten off more than you can chew and swallow. Don't wait till they get to be teenagers to teach them wheel tracks of righteousness while you let the world teach them everything the cosmic system has to offer. They metabolize it, get it down to where it's in long-term memory and facilitated. And then you want to change things. And it's going to be real hard to do. And Gary's letter is a testimonial to what happens when it happens with all 8 cylinders working for an entire youth period of 16, 17 years. It is a horror show. Now, in the raising of children, it is obvious that if righteous thoughts are installed into their memory traces at the earliest possible age, then doing the right thing becomes their path of least resistance. They naturally do the right thing because they were taught it at an early age, and the wheel track of wickedness is not the dominant wheel track. They can be introduced to a lot of things in there. They may fail and fall and sin and stumble on occasion, but that's not their lifestyle. That's not what they normally do. And that can be easily corrected with a little pain and discipline. Otherwise, no, you're at war. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Point 38. When it comes to the unbeliever, the situation becomes bleak. For the unbeliever, it's bleak. Although the pain and suffering become far more than they can bear, arrogance is so strong, they rarely turn to Christ as Savior and remain lost in their sins. For the unbeliever, the situation is very, very bleak. They do the things they want to do. They do the things they enjoy. The pain and suffering to the unbeliever is designed to get them to an objective hearing of the gospel. And there's so much negativity about Christianity today, especially Orthodox Protestant theology, which is branded as the Christian right, whatever that means, that people are shying away from Christianity as a solution. Especially the lascivious, especially the self-righteous, especially people who are already convinced that they're really the best they can ever be. Although the pain and suffering becomes far more than they can bear, arrogance is so strong they rarely turn to Christ as Savior and instead remain lost in their sins. Ephesians 2, verse 12. Remember that you at that time, during your unbelief, remember that you at that time were separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without Christ in the world. Point 39. A recent movie, True Lies, has a humorous but telling analysis by one of its characters. FBI agent Harry Tasker observes his daughter stealing money from his partner's coat pocket. Tasker laments that he and his wife Helen had not taught her to act that way. To this, his partner Albert Gibson responds, quote, "You're not her parents anymore, you and Helen. Her parents are Axl Rose and Madonna. The 5 minutes you spend with her each day can't compete with that kind of bombardment. You're outgunned, Daddy-O. It's not that you're bad parents. I mean, kids today are 10 years ahead of where we were at their age. 10 years ahead in cosmic thinking. 10 years ahead in the functions of the old sin nature. They're 10 years behind parents when it comes to moral, righteous, ethical action and in just general maturity. So the children of this generation are a full generation, a full 20 years behind where they ought to be." And it came out in the movie. Point 40. And the memory traces they are facilitating are turning into internal monsters. The memory traces they are facilitating are turning into internal monsters, which only positive volition to doctrine can ever hope to inhibit. The memory traces they are facilitating are turning into internal monsters which only positive volition to doctrine can ever hope to inhibit. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 33 through 34. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Therefore, become sober-minded as you ought, and stop sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. 41. For both children and parents, fear is not an option. The only option is the divine option. In fact, there are flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness. Pursue the wheel tracks of righteousness, and several are mentioned. Faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Associate with righteous people. 42. To all concerned in the reversion problem, be you a relative, a friend, a spouse, or to those who are riding its roller coaster of recovery, keep Paul's mental attitude in mind. 2 Timothy 4:7, fight the good fight, finish the course, keep the faith. Father, we're grateful to You for the privilege of noting these things today. It is our prayer that as we now are armed with a clear understanding of how the brain works and how our volition within our soul has the ultimate option of what we do and why we do it and whether we will do it, may we, as we now prepare to go into a major passage of Scripture, have the enabling power of the Holy Spirit to recall these things as they are pertinent to our study, and that in the end we may more clearly realize the power of Your Word and the necessity of the filling of the Holy Spirit along with the inculcation of Your divine truth. May we be motivated by these things as we continue the advance, and we lift our prayer in the name of Christ our Savior. Charis human kai reine. Plethun thae in epinosai tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Dismissed.